bird.
It's a plane.
Well, hello, beautiful.
Listen up, casuals.
Cowabunga! You got a plan.
I'm afraid my protocols are being overridden.
Game over, man.
Hello, casuals. It's your two favorite comic book nerds. This is Rocco.
And this is Chris.
And we are here tonight for a very special episode for a character I feel like is a long time coming. A character who, and you know, that's what she said. She would love that joke. a character that we all know, right?
So we're starting off tonight, right?
Exactly,
there.
Exactly. Well, I feel like this character would love that.
Mm-hmm.
The foul-mouthed, the overtly sexual and the psychotic killer, Harley Quinn. She will be our subject for tonight's show. So strap in for that, because she has had a hell of an awesome journey.
Or strap on. Oh, right? Sorry.
This episode's going to get dirty because it is Harley. So this episode might get a little dirty. You know, this is rated NC-17. But we love to start every episode with what we are reading right now. So, Chris, what did you get pulled, man?
I'm still trying to figure out what day. So it's the 22nd. Okay. So I got kind of screwed up because I had put Motu Masterverse number 2, I think, on my polls last week. Okay. And then it got pushed to this week. So I'm a little confused by this. So I'm going to start from the top because we shared this first one. Swamp Thing Green Hell number 3 dropped. Yes. Which we mentioned it last show about it a little bit.
Yes.
But I you know, when this got delayed, I had faith in Jeff Lemire, and he usually doesn't leave you hanging. So I'm looking forward to reading it now that it's done, and pumped because I love Jeff Lemire.
Well, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I will say this.
Thank you.
This is a must read. If you like Swamp Thing, if you like that side of the house, DC, like the mystical side, yeah, you're going to love this. It was one of my favorite books, period, that I've ever read.
Awesome. That's high praise. You've been reading all of the Batman One Bad Day one shots.
Yes, yes.
I picked up this week's The Rule one because Ivan Reis is one of my favorite artists, and he did bang up job on this book. But this is also, it's written by Tom Taylor. Now, each of these have had different writers and artists, right? Okay.
Correct.
So it's kind of just an anthology.
It is. Yep. An anthology.
And this one is it's a soft cover. I had read somewhere where there was like going to be a hardcover collection of them or something along those lines.
And I was yes.
Like, yeah, that.
With the Killing Joke. So the point of these One Bad Day is you have to think that the Killing Joke is actually the first one in the anthology. So the Killing Joke would be the first in this anthology. And then all the rest of them. So you're picturing that each of these books are these villains, the Killing Joke kind of book. They push the characters to the extreme, just like the Killing Joke did with the Joker. So this series that comes, I believe it's actually in a box set, maybe.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah, it comes with the Killing Joke as well.
Oh, neat. Okay, cool.
So that's something that's cool. And Ra's al Ghul, this last one, this was the icing on the cake. This was the best one of all of them. I'm telling you right now, the Riddler one was really good, which was the first one. Well, you know, the first one in this series.
Okay.
But the Ra's al Ghul one, it was better. It was the best one.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I'll have to check out the rest of those on the app now that it's done. You and I also, let's see, we shared that. I also pulled Black Adam number 9. It's a 12 issue maxi series. I'm very excited about this one. It's by Priest, who also did a really good job with Deathstroke, you know, back in the Rebirth day, from the start of Rebirth and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to, I think I read the first 5 issues of this, and it's really good. And I do recommend it, even though, all this weird stuff about the DC movies and stuff like that are kind of putting a damper on things when that in that side of the universe. But I love this series so far.
Yeah, I The Rock or Dwayne Johnson really has annoyed me with the Black Adam movie and all of everything that went along with it. But I will say this, comic book wise, I haven't read a lot of Black Adam, but there is one story of him in Batman Urban Legends of Batman going to visit Black Adam. And it's actually a really, really great small excerpt that I very much enjoyed.
Yep. I mean, this is the thing about DC villains. They're just so multi-layered. They can carry the stories on their own. And I liked that movie for what it was, as an action-packed, popcorn-munching comic book movie. And that's sometimes what I need. But it's just, it's not good enough for the comic book fan when you read these great stories about that character. So whatever, we're moving on with that. Yes. in the future, which is good. So yes. I'm also a big Valiant Comics fan, and so there's a new Exo Man of War series out. It's called Unconquered. The number one issue just dropped. One of my favorite artists is Liam Sharp. He does the cover for issue one, the cover A. And it was actually written by Becky Cloonan as well, who's been doing some really good work across the board. So the gist of this character, if you don't know, Rocco, is
he was
pulled from, I think it was ancient Roman times. He was a Roman warrior. He was either Greek or Roman warrior. I think it was Roman, but he gets pulled from it. And then he becomes like this hero because he wears this suit. It's that is like an AI. And it makes him ultra like powerful. And he's already a crazy warrior to begin with. So he goes on these crazy science fiction romps and more. He's a great character. Valiant, the Valiant verse is awesome. Awesome stuff.
Sweet. That sounds awesome. Speaking of ancient warriors, you reminded me, Keanu Reeves' book Berserker did finally end. Towards the end, they had a couple delays, but nothing too crazy. And number 12 was a double issue. So she was chonky. And I had to get the foil, spend the extra $2. But whatever. $2, totally worth it for that foil. I love that foil.
I think I got most of the foils on that series. I don't know if I don't know if the last one was, because I was like, I got to get that Matt Kint cover because he's one of my favorite artists and writers. And I was just like, it was that weird one where he's like all emaciated and stuff on the, it's a neat rendering of the character. But yeah, I need to get caught up on that, because that's another one where I was just going to let it end and then I'm going to read it, because I backed out on Kickstarter. So I'm always going to keep getting the trade paperbacks sent to me, but I'm still buying these comics because it's such an awesome concept from awesome people.
Yeah, I agree. It was very different, but very good and very visceral, I think is the best word for Berserker.
All right. Can't wait. Cannot wait. We also shared Doctor Strange number one. The Sorcerer Supreme is back in the driver's seat. He's, you know, after the death of Doctor Strange and then his absence for a while, he's back with Jed McKay writing it, Pascal Ferry on art, and this awesome Alex Ross cover that we just talked about.
Yes, the cover. The cover caught my eye because it was the cover of one of the Marvel catalogs that you get every month when you order in comics. Nice. And that was the cover of it. And I was like, is this the comic cover? And then I looked it up. I was like, yeah. And that grabbed me. And then we were talking about how playing on Midnight Suns, like I got a chance to really get to know Doctor Strange. And I was just like, I just want to read more about him. And this is like a perfect time to jump on with a number one. So I'm looking very, very forward to reading more about the Sorcerer Supreme.
Cool. Jump bump points are the best.
Yeah. For real.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's sometimes they do it too often, but this is like that perfect point because they did an event. They had that, you know, the Clea stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's time for them to come back. So, as you know, it's comics, nobody stays dead. So
no, nobody ever stays dead. And then the other finale this week, though, was GCPD, The Blue Wall, which we touched on last time.
Yes. Okay. So it's over.
It's done.
Cool.
Everyone should read that book. Mm. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
That's a good way to leave it. Yeah, once that drops on the app next month, I'll be reading that entire series as we discussed last show. I'm very excited. I was waiting for the final opinion on that because it was kind of one of those things where, like, I've read books like that before, and sometimes they can be disappointing, or they're gonna hit that right spot. So
they definitely struck real hard.
My microphone is being droopy. Sorry for the noises.
It's all good.
Cool. And then also Punisher number 10 dropped. Mm-hmm. I'm behind on that. I gotta get caught up because I gotta read it kind of in the combination, like I said, with Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
And just rock it. And then you were asking about the Milestone universe.
Yes.
In our little chat today.
Yeah.
So Milestone 30th anniversary special number one is out, and this features various writers from mm-hmm. from the Milestone stable. I'll okay. say. But this is a really good thing to do because they kind of did like these cool ideas where they did seasons for these characters, like mm-hmm. Icon and Static Shock and Rocket and Hardware, and they did this neat thing where each character got a small run, and it was like a season. They still called it season one, kind of like a TV show.
Yeah.
And then they're doing it again with season two. So it's a neat way to build up these characters, and then, you know, give characters that have not had enough I should say spotlight on them
mm-hmm.
more now, especially after they just did this Milestone initiative where they sought out creators of color, and they wanted to embrace that and get them into the field, and actually we're seeing that maybe in this issue, but we're also seeing it now with releases from certain new character releases as well.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's great. And you know, we talked about it last show, and we'll probably talk about every show, but you know, inclusion and representation are very important, and comic books have always been in the zeitgeist of what is going on. So what better place for that than comic books?
Absolutely.
Awesome. 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 So there are just so many good books out right now, and make sure, like we always say, that you're going out and supporting your local comic shop. With that being said, though, a whole lot of news out of the nerdery. Chris, what is going on? And why aren't you wearing any pants?
Oh, I had to do laundry. I'm short on clothing as of late. I donated it all to charity. Let's start with Moon Knight season two, because that's kind of a question in everybody's mind is, will we see this character again, and what, you know, how will we see it? The idea here is that they're going to go bigger. They're going to go more into the Egyptian side of the Egyptian mythos side of things and things like that. But here we have the opportunity to once again bring Jonathan Majors back in as a Kang variant. And in this one, it would be King Rama Tut. That is, there's a apparently there's an Easter egg for that character in season one. And so people are speculating now that why not have a Kang variant be the villain if he is so prevalent in the MCU.
Well, you saw Ant-Man, right?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I can't say what I need to say.
Okay.
But the likelihood of it being Rama Tut, I would say, is very high. Yeah. Which would be amazing. I'm sure. Anyway, just see the movie, yes. and stay for the after credits. But anyway, now with Moon Knight, what I heard, is that he may be featured in the Agatha show, the House of Harkness.
Oh,
because it seems like the Agatha show speculations is that it will be a backdoor pilot to the Midnight Suns.
Which, you know, would be awesome.
Yes, you can introduce Blade, like, before the movie.
Right, or after the movie. You know, it depends on how long that takes to put it together. With the changes they made to the Midnight Suns from the comics to the MCU, lots of big changes. But, I mean, there's a reason why they pushed that game. Why they're delving into this side of the MCU, and this is just a matter of time until a Ghost Rider shows up. So I would love to see it. I enjoyed my second viewing of Moon Knight season one more. Mm-hmm. Was it what I wanted? No, but it works. And if they want to go bigger and do this whole thing, fine. I'll watch it. I'm there.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I would love to just see. I would love to see him and Rama Tut. I would, especially if the rest of the MCU is going to go heavy in Jonathan Majors because he is Kang, and then obviously with Loki, God damn it, you haven't seen Ant-Man yet.
I know. I gotta do it.
So many spoilers. But like with Jonathan Majors being like predominant now in the MCU, it would only make sense to have him as Rama Tut in a second season of Moon Knight. It would make sense.
Okay. And then I'm pretty sure that's what we're going to see. Yeah. I mean, if you're Jonathan Majors, you sign on, and that's that. Yeah. So let's jump over the next little bit of news here. X-Men 97, the continuation of the cartoon of our childhood.
Mm-hmm.
This one is being brought back. It's going to be a continuation of the old series. And I'm pretty excited for it because it still looks like it's going to be dropping in 2023.
Yes.
I didn't get too much into the spoiler article because I don't want to. But I'm really excited for it because I think that it's the right way to do this. There's been a lot of incarnations of, the X-Men on anime series for mostly the good part. You know, mm-hmm. I've enjoyed all of it, but nothing really captures my nostalgia like that old show.
That show that was just the cream on the top of Saturday morning cartoons. That was the last one you knew after you saw them spinning in that 3D thing with the credits rolling. You knew as soon as you saw that, like, there was going to be some 700 Club infomercial coming on after that on Saturday. You're just like, Saturday morning cartoons is done. But it always led to X-Men, which was just always such a badass show. And I heard X-Men 97, and I could be wrong, but I did hear something that Mr. Sinister is going to be playing a very large role in that.
He should. I'm really excited to actually try to read that new Sinister big arc that they're doing. Mm-hmm. I'm so far behind my X-Men books, but at the same time, I've heard really good things about this. So
I read the setup book, and I will tell you this. It's very sinister. Ugh.
No surprise there. Spoiler alert. Sinister things are coming. I would love to see more of his character on the show. I think that they didn't really do enough. And there's a lot of room for those cool stories, especially I think that he's going to be a very usable character in the MCU as well.
Mm-hmm.
We just mentioned Midnight Suns, the Morbius DLC. It dropped yesterday. Is it already out? Right. Okay.
Yes. I downloaded it. I haven't played it yet, but I downloaded it.
Cool. the third of four DLCs for one of our favorite games of all time now. I don't know why people aren't playing it enough, but if we can convince you to do it, maybe there'll be a sequel.
I freaking hope so.
Yeah, me too. I threw this in here because I'm a big Fantastic Four fan. You've been reading Fantastic Four.
I have.
There's a town out by me, maybe half an hour to the east in California. It's called Stockton. And now there's a petition out there to name it. Well, it's already been named the birthplace of the Fantastic Four. But they want to try to get the MCU to film whatever there. They would love to have it featured. So, yeah, I thought that would be cool. I signed a petition because it's close to me. There's an awesome convention called Stockton Con that happens every year there. So, yeah, hell yeah.
Sweet, yeah.
Sign it. Go.
I will. I'll sign it once we're done. Promise.
Make it happen. We'll fly you out here. We'll go out there and watch them film it.
Woo!
Do a live show about Fantastic Four.
Yes, I love the Fantastic Four.
Right? Anyways. Yes. Titans, are you caught up in Titans season, the TV show?
I am not. Okay.
Are you?
The end of season three.
Okay. So you're on season four.
Yeah, I haven't started it all yet. Season three is Red Hood, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so then yes, I'm up to season three. Yeah. I have not started season four yet. Yes.
Great, crazy season. This season's been even more comic book like, would say. I've really enjoyed it. It is the final season. They are closing out the series. The way they're doing it definitely makes sense and is a nice full circle for the show. They've split the season into two parts. Part two, six more episodes will be dropping starting on April 13th.
Right. So,
yeah, can't wait. And we also got our first look at Jaylen Waddle in the Robin costume.
I saw that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Their take on Tim Drake Robin. Yeah, great looking suit. I thought all these suits in that show are cool.
I always liked them. Yes, I especially like Nightwing suit, but I'm partial to that. So
Me too. But that's the one you got to get right.
Yeah,
regardless.
Yes. So. Yes.
Just a few things here. Dawn of the DCU. Are you reading any of these titles? Whether they're going more character centric. And they're dropping a few every month, so there's some more. They've been, you know, like Son of Superman got his own mini series, but I guess that's a bad example. Green Arrow comes out soon. They did a new Superman series.
Is it Nightwing part of that? Because
Nightwing is part of the whole initiative, but he's had his own series going on anyways.
Yeah,
and since he's such a big part of this, it's kind of like in that light of what they're doing with that title.
Okay. Yeah, I'm reading that. So
you've been reading that since Tom Taylor took over, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Awesome. So there's a couple more titles coming, and a big Dr. Fate teaser as well. So Steel and Hawkgirl are going to get their own series.
Oh wow.
Wonder Woman is going to be written by Tom King, which I'm very excited for.
Tom King. Jeez.
And it's the Flash, probably. Yeah, I mean, everybody is getting their own individual title, and they're gonna go character-driven stories.
Yeah. So instead of the ensembles and the events.
Yeah. Not so much of that, just because it is a lot sometimes.
Yeah,
it gets kind of daunting, and people want to read about like their favorite character.
Yeah,
and if you just keep mixing that up all the time, it gets tough. So.
Yeah, I agree.
A couple titles are ending, unfortunately for you, because you do read at least one of these. Do you read both? Do you read Tim Drake Robin?
I don't read Tim Drake Robin, but I do read Batgirls.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's up and down. Like, I didn't like the artwork for a while, and then they got looking like, it seems like they got a new artist and it looked better, at least what I like. and it had its ups and downs. The story started out pretty like weak and then progressively got like a lot better. And the last few issues were actually really good. So it's like you hit your stride and then you're canceled.
Yeah, that's kind of the tough thing, right? It's just like you should be having a stronger launch.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know really how to judge it because it's a tough one.
Yeah.
This was written by Becky Cloonan, who we just mentioned with the XO title. So you know of her and she's good. And it's unfortunate when those things happen because I feel like you got Spoiler and Cassandra Cain, mm-hmm. Who are both really like fan driven characters. And
yes,
like you've got titles with hundreds of numbers and it's got a lot of backstory and more. So if you can't open it up the right way, it's unfortunate that it has to end, but maybe they'll come back in another title. So,
yeah, I think the concept was good. It was the storylines that sometimes I just didn't care about. But the concept, I really liked the concept that, you know, they were going to move in with Babs and Babs was kind of going to be their Oracle and they would be Batgirl. And then like Babs would only come out of retirement into the Batgirl suit when it was like when they needed like backup. And I felt like those moments you almost cheered while you're reading because, you know, both Cassandra and Stephanie, they're freaking in trouble and you think where it's going to happen. And then bam, you know, there's the Batgirl like shows up and saves their asses. And I like that, you know, you're just like, yeah, you know, when that happens. But again, you know, I felt that the execution was poor on what was a great concept.
Okay. And that's coming somebody that reads it. So, you know, maybe they need a new direction. So hopefully they, like I said, they come back in other stories.
I hope.
Shazam 2 hits digital in April, which means it'll also be on HBO Max soon after that. It's not doing great in theaters. All that crap talking that is going on about movies that don't really matter as much anymore. But I mean, you mentioned The Rock earlier, and his lack of wanting to work with, you know, the Shazam tradition and things like that it kind of sucks because it's like, I want to like what The Rock does and how he promotes and, you know, he's a superstar entertainer. Right. And to make the Black Adam movie happen was kind of crazy that it took that long to begin with. But then you learn it's like, well, he didn't really ever want to do like anything with Shazam or Zachary Levi. So weird little war going on in the entertainment world, but you know, you got to make these comics make sense. Like you have to do certain things because it's how it works. That's my opinion.
And that's exactly it. Like, with what little I knew of Black Adam, I always knew he was Shazam's nemesis. Mm-hmm. I always, like, I just knew that. I never really read Shazam. I never really read Black Adam, but I just knew that, like, that's just something that you knew. So when this movie came out with Shazam already being out at the time, I was like, oh, okay, cool. So they'll do like a Shazam thing. But then there was all this talk of Superman and I checked it out. There is some precedent, but not very much.
Not without Shazam.
Exactly. So so it still didn't make sense. And then I'm reading that, what's his name? That The Rock was like, he wanted to have the DCU revolve around Black Adam and Henry Cavill's Superman. He thought that that was the direction the DCU should have gone in. And I feel like he walked in a little bigger than his britches or too big for his britches. You know, and they were like, yeah, dude, no, like we'll make this movie, but I guess I just didn't understand all the hype around it to get what we got.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And it's funny because the things they do kind of do tie into whatever they want to do with the DCU, and the, like the, say the Suicide Squad side of things and whatnot. Right. So I really enjoyed the first Shazam movie. I enjoy it more than Black Adam. And I like Black Adam enough, but I want to see this new Shazam movie. And whatever happens, it's all going to change anyways, you know? So yeah, we'll see.
I'm just ready for James Gunn to just do his thing and let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just go with some good storytelling.
Yeah.
And good productions, and just get people excited to watch these movies instead of being hateful. So
exactly.
You and I did a Ninja Turtle episode back in, was it last season?
Right? Yep. Yep.
So just a little comic coming out in early April 12th, issue one of TMNT and Usagi Yojimbo. It's called Where When, by Stan Sakai, who was the creator of Usagi Yojimbo. And I just want to mention this because they've been, characters kind of come back into the zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. They did that neat Netflix show about his descendant. And now they're ramping up for a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, which looks pretty neat. So just want to drop this little piece. I ordered a lot of these covers, the Eastman and the Sakai ones, because it's just really cool.
Hell yeah. And isn't Eastman's doing a Daredevil cover, right?
Yeah, he is. He is. Issue 11, 12, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that for sure. But yeah, I mean, it just seems like everything's turning up turtle for 2023.
And it should. It's one of the greatest franchises of all time.
Absolutely.
It's timeless. They relaunch it for every generation and it works. Yeah, just so happy.
I mean, my son is 3 and he loves the Ninja Turtles.
There you go.
When I was young, I loved the Ninja Turtles.
Yes. They called me Turtle in elementary school.
There you go.
I wasn't slow. I was just, I was a turtle. Speaking of Jeff Lemire earlier in the episode, Sweet Tooth season 2 is coming back on April 27th. I am a terrible fan because I haven't watched season 1. So I need to just do it, as they say.
Yeah. So, funny thing about Sweet Tooth. First of all, did you know this produced by Robert Downey Jr. and his wife?
Yes.
Okay. So
this
is
very cool.
I love that. I love that. And I love there's a little behind the scenes of him on set with them. RDJ. I love RDJ. He's become a whimsical creature of beauty. He went from, you know, like a drug addled prison inmate to like this mystical being that I just want to stand in his aura.
He stars in his own movie. It's like his life is his movie.
It really, really is. But anyway, I love that he's producing this. I love everything he touches. And this show was a show that the wife and I picked up, and my wife ended up really, really liking. And what I loved about it is I could be like, hey, guess what? It's a comic book.
Got you.
It's just like, you know, yeah. And she was like, I don't even care. That was really good. So I talked to her tonight about this. I'm like, hey, you know, Sweet Tooth season 2 is coming out. And she's like, yes. All right. Awesome. So it's a cool show. It's a fun show. It's so full of heart, and it's so adorable and heart wrenching and awful and beautiful at the same time, and ugly and wonderful. It's all those things.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I need to watch it. I love the comics, and I'm just really excited to see this, because whenever things get picked up for the season 2 on Netflix and they're not immediately canceled, you're like, oh, I'm really excited, even mm-hmm. though it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Also, I guess from the Lemire world, Essex County dropped in Canada, another mm-hmm. adaptation of one of his comics.
Okay.
I tried to use my VPN in order to claim I was in Canada, but it really didn't work in the end. So now I have to find another way to watch it. Yeah, it sucks, but it's out. If you're Canadian, watch it.
Sweet.
And then last up, just a little drop here. Punk Droid is an upcoming Kickstarter, and it's being hailed as a kick-ass cyberpunk comic anthology, post-apocalyptic dystopic scenarios, tons of androids, robots, and out-of-control AIs. So that sounds pretty sweet. It sounds right up my alley. I'm going to leave the link in here. And I want you all to check this out. Support indie comics.
This is, you know, a lot of time these books get started on Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. You know, we featured our good friend Ruben Romero on this show, where he got started on Kickstarter. Now he's published. Mm-hmm. Also Casey Bowker, who did our Batman episode. Mm-hmm. He'll be coming to talk about his book Hallowed in this season. So we're very excited to do that show.
Yes. And I read Hallowed number one. I bought Hallowed number one. I read Hallowed number one and I like it. And I want more of it. So
get a reading, because we're going to have to talk it. So
that's right. So why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, we're going to talk about everyone's favorite clown.
Princess?
Sure. Clown princess, I guess.
Of crime,
who's trying so desperately to seek the approval of the Dark Knight himself. We'll be right back.
DFAT Comics is the publishing branch of DontForgetATowel.com, the only place to travel geekly. Focusing on creator-owned and independent titles like Hallowed, Pursuit of Plastic, and Fairy, and many more. DFAT Comics will be a mix of genres appealing to every kind of reader. Join the new source of comic book entertainment with DFAT Comics.
And we are back. What's happening, casuals? Again, this is Rocco.
This is Chris.
And we are here tonight to talk to you about Harley Quinn, our favorite loudmouth villain turned kind of anti-hero now. But the way they've done it, I really enjoy, because I feel like there's a bit of exhaustion and a bit of annoyance in these anti-heroes. You know, like Venom was a villain and now he's kind of like an anti-hero. And then you've got, I feel like Harley Quinn, though, kind of started first. I don't know. I guess you be the judge. Do you know what I mean?
I wouldn't say she started first, but I would say that she's probably one of the most renowned, well-known ones, because, you know, it's funny, because I think that if we're going to really start talking about her, she's a character that wasn't even from the comics.
Right? Yes.
She was created for the Batman animated series.
Yep.
So in that regard, it's interesting to see the evolution of the character from sidekick to gaining so much popularity that eventually becomes the anti-hero, and definitely is. And it's well portrayed in all the different medias we're about to talk about.
Absolutely. And I think what I love about her is how unique of a character she is, because normally you're like, oh, well, this, their first appearance was in this comic. And in Harley's instance, her first appearance was in the episode titled Joker's Favor in September of 1992. She was just supposed to be like one of Joker's silly henchmen that was sort of like a comic relief. But then we got that voice.
How old were you?
1992, I was 6 years old.
All right. I was 12.
There you go. So I remember this episode in reruns. That's where I'm remembering it.
Yeah, I watched this show at my babysitter's after school every day.
Yep.
So that, I mean, it's interesting, because were there new episodes on every day? Because I remember that's how He-Man and She-Ra was. They would just do these huge seasons, and they would just be like Monday through Friday was a new episode or whatever. I mean, I remember they premiered the animated series in prime time for the very first time, and it didn't seem to sit well there, and I think they put it after school. Mm-hmm. Which is a really interesting place to put it, because of its, I would say it is mature.
A lot of, how do I put this, a lot of that show, it was the concepts of the show that were very, very high level concepts. It wasn't like there was nudity or sex or violence or language. It was, you wondered how kids connected to it because the concepts, like, you know, his loss of his parents, discussions of severe mental illness, so much discussion of mental illness, so much discussion of kidnapping and killing and promises to dead parents and terrorism, like so much. That's a lot of it.
Stuff.
Dude, I mean, do you remember Mask of the Phantasm?
Yes. Yes.
Oh my God, I went to the theater as a child to see that. I watched that as an adult and I said I was interested in this as a child. Right. I love it now, like I love it. His whole Andrea Beaumont,
even more now.
Yeah, but that whole story with his, like, he had a choice between a woman or being Batman. Like, I'm a grown man, and I'm like, wow, this is really a punch to the gut. And as a kid, like, what did I know about that? What?
Who is this aimed at?
Yeah, exactly. What is this? Who is this for? And
definitely not 6 year old you.
Exactly. And then we're gonna put this after school. You know, I don't get it, but I loved it and I still love it. I still find myself watching it.
Oh, absolutely. The minute that the new, like, remastered edition came out, I was like, I don't care if it's on HBO Max, I'm gonna buy it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I will always own this. Let's talk a little bit about the origin, how she came about.
As a
psychiatrist, Harley Quinzel is a very intelligent person.
Yes, Dr. Harleen Quinzel, yeah. Is a psychiatrist, a renowned psychiatrist, who was also a professional gymnast, which they kind of work that in there as well. Who becomes obsessed with her patient being the Joker, and she ends up helping the Joker escape Arkham, and she kind of renounces her being a doctor and becomes his, you know, second in command, who he also severely mentally and physically abuses.
Yeah. I always, you know, for me, when I see couples dress as Joker and Harley,
mm-hmm.
I'm just like, I don't really think you know what that's about. It's like, it's also like when people dress as Superman and Supergirl and they're like, looking out, you know, those ones. It's like, oh, hey, okay. Kissing cousins. But no, abusive relationships are cool, but people seem to really dig Joker and Harley.
Yeah, and it's always the weird
cringy. It's cringy.
It is. Like, I'm just trying to find my Joker to my Harley. So you want a dude that beats you up? Like, I don't understand what you're looking for exactly. But it's just like, I go back to it. Read more comics so you don't sound stupid.
But exactly. And the crazy thing is that, so we're talking about what age was this aimed at, this show? And it was like, it was that fine line where DC always kind of sits. And it's, as I got older, it's always why I love DC a lot. Like, I grew up early on DC, and then of course mm-hmm. you go to Marvel as a kid. But when you go back to these much darker takes on the psyche of characters and their backstories and more, yeah, there's some cool Marvel stuff, but for me, in my opinion, these characters, especially somebody you can just pull out of the animated series and she's so popular, and throw her onto the page that she can carry her own book and more.
Yeah, exactly. And my last comment on Batman the Animated Series and how groundbreaking it was is it still holds one of my favorite Batman quotes when he's saying, "I am vengeance, I am the night, I am Batman," in this just prophetic way that was so, like, it makes your bones tingle. And what I'm linking that to is, if we remember the first time we see Batman in the latest The Batman movie, which is definitely the darkest rendition we've ever seen, where he beats the guy to an absolute bloody pulp, and after he asks, "What are you?" he says, "I'm vengeance." And like, that just kind of, from a cartoon show that I was watching when I was 6 years old, mm-hmm. to, you know, a nearly R-rated film, It's crazy. So you've got Harley who jumps out of the screen and into the pages, if you will, because she didn't see her first comic book until September 93 in the Batman Adventures number 12. And I read it's called non-canon.
Yeah.
And comic book wise, I guess I wanted to note that down, but I didn't exactly know pertaining to comics. Like, I guess I never looked at anything. I looked at everything and nothing is canon in comics, everything and nothing.
Yeah. Because I mean, there's so many crazy things they do where they'll just multiverse it, throw everything together
exactly.
In a blender and be like, hey, this is now, you know, Miles Morales is part of the main MC, like Marvel yeah. Universe, things like that. So they'll retcon whatever they want, when they want, and how they want. But I mean, this is the idea that they adapt a comic on the animated series, which in its own right took different stories from the comics and adapted them. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what came first, chicken or the egg? It's true. It's not really canon if you're just doing a story from a TV show in the comic. But eventually she does become part of the mainstay of DC Comics.
Yeah, and that didn't happen till 6 years later. In 1999, she gets her first canon induction into the DC comic book universe with Batman Harley Quinn number one. And it's considered her origin issue, and it's got that that Alex Ross, that famous cover, Mad Love. And I see that you noted it there. I looked it up and I was like, yep, that's the cover I was thinking.
Also an episode of Batman the Animated Series.
Okay.
I do want to mention, as far as collecting comics, the Batman Adventures number 12 is it's a key comic. It is her first appearance in comic books.
Yep.
Period. And so it is worth the most when you're seeking that stuff out.
Don't
let that fool you where it's like, oh, it's not canon. What is canon
anyway? Yeah, and it's a comic book. And if it's her true first appearance, and it is, then
the money,
it's gonna be worth it. Yeah, absolutely. Especially a first printing of that. Gee, mini crickets. Yeah. After the movies came out, I can imagine that skyrocketed.
Oh yeah.
But then we have here Harley jumps just a year later. She jumps out of Gotham and steps into Action Comics. And for those of you, you know, casuals that may not know, Action Comics is Superman. So it's her first time stepping out of Batman and into the Superman universe. And the first time she appears in the same book with Superman. So I would actually love to read that.
That's cool. I'm going to have to look that up on my app and check that out.
So that's Action Comics 765. You were going to say?
No, I'm just saying I'm going to do that. Yeah, I'm also going to say that we got a Superman episode coming season 4. That's throwing it down right now.
Yes, yes, we should be doing one of those. I agree. And then Harley finally gets her own run in the year 2000 as well with Harley Quinn number 1. So 7 years after she debuted into comic books, she finally gets her own standalone run and Harley Quinn number 1 in the year 2000.
Awesome. That's pretty amazing, honestly.
Yeah.
When was the Batman Adventures? 93. Okay. So yeah, it takes a better part of a decade.
Yeah,
but I mean that's how a character catches on, so that's pretty awesome.
Absolutely, and her continuing to be a much larger character in the animated series, I'm sure helped tremendously.
Yeah, that went on for about 4 seasons. They say 3, but it was like 4.
Turned into the New Adventures of Batman and Robin, but it was the
animation
same show.
Changed.
Yeah,
exactly. So. I'm just really impressed that even by 2000, even before the next big comic book boom, Harley Quinn was on her way to being a very popular character.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. And then we have here, what is this, Harley Quinn and Birds of Prey? Is that Black Label? Is that the
BL? Yeah, so that that dropped in 2020. I threw that on here we'll be talking about the movie in a little bit. And so this was four issues by Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palamati, who worked on Harley Quinn, I think, during the New 52 era. They were one of the more known runs of Harley Quinn during that time, and really kind of put that stamp on her that has kind of been used in the Margot Robbie rendition. Mm-hmm. So redefining the character, I should mm-hmm. say.
Okay. Right on. And then we have the current run of Harley Quinn that has been ongoing for a long time. We're up to number 27.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you know if it's the longest running one yet?
I don't know that offhand, to be honest with you. But I mean, right now it's showing in previews up to 30. So I don't see it ending anytime soon. It has been an absolutely zany ride. I've really, really enjoyed it.
Well, they've made room with cutting Robin and Batgirl, so put more money into Harley Quinn.
Yeah, there you go. And then once it changed artists from the first, like,
yeah, remember we were talking about that? I think what episode we were talking about that back in the day on one show, because you hated it because it was so like manga like.
Yeah,
right.
It was just just like really blocky. Like everything was really blocky. Nothing was like smooth, and like it was just everyone was a block character. It was like, am I reading freaking Minecraft?
Is my kid drawing this for me?
Right. But then they changed the artist, but kept the writer. And because I always liked the story, and like I wrote down some notes here because it's crazy. So first of all, it starts out where she is part of the Bat family, or trying to be, and seeking the approval of Batman because of what happened at the end of Joker War. And I'm sorry, spoiler alert, if you haven't read Joker War already, I don't know what else to tell you. But Harley Quinn at the end of Joker War, the final ending of Joker War, Harley ties herself up and ties the Joker up and straps them both with a bomb and tells Batman, that's it. Choose one of us. Harley wants Batman to kill the Joker or to let him die. And so Batman has to make a choice. He chooses Harley. He saves her and lets the Joker explode. And you think, wow, that's it. And then when it's later on, you know, Batman says they never found the body and they never found the bomb. And obviously that leads into the current Joker run. So again,
He's back.
Oh yeah, he's back
again.
We just said he never goes in. Yeah, the man who stopped laughing, Joker, the man who stopped laughing. But
can you just kill them,
right? But Harley decides she wants to like try this hero thing out, and like Batman won't let her go on any missions by herself. She's always got a Robin with her, and she would just get annoyed with it and just be like, you know, doesn't Batbrain have a credit card? Can't we get like a gun with a cool scope or like something, like, you know, like she was always pestering them. And so she decided that she was going to be her own thing. She was going to be her own hero. And she ended up working with reformed convicts from the Joker War. So Joker's previous henchmen. And she ends up befriending Kevin, who has a huge like jaw, and underneath it is tattooed a Joker face. So every time he looks up, it's just Joker's face.
Oh, boy.
And he still has that tattoo. And he doesn't want to be associated with the Joker, and he and Harley become like best friends, and like he's become Harley and Kevin's like her sidekick. And there's that. And so she spends a lot of time trying to rehab him, but is it that him that's rehabbing her? I don't know. And then it's let's see, Luke Fox gets Task Force X together again with Harley. And they decide to go to the moon because there's some kind of alien there. And Harley ends up keeping the alien as a pet for a little while. And then the alien leaves. And then she just had her own. Yeah, it's just, like I said, super zany, but I love it. And that's fun. Love her. It's her take on everything. And she's such a whack job. It's great. She just had her own multiversal saga, including a Harley that looks just like the Batman Who Stop or the Batman Who Laughs, but a Harley version.
Oh,
and she meets all of the Harleys from all these different multiverses, and they're all really great. And it's just funny because she's like, I didn't realize I was so annoying.
So they just like ripped off Dark Knight's metal
pretty much.
That's awesome.
But I loved what she did with it. She's like, oh, you're so mad all the time to that one. She's like, wait a minute. If I have an Ivy in my universe, don't you have an Ivy in your universe? And then it turns out that she's such a, you know, crazy, scary Harley because they took her Ivy, and it kind of follows that, you know. And all then right, her and Ivy are in like an ill-defined, deeply loving relationship where they deeply love one another, but then continue to scissor with other. And you can bleep that if you want to, but continue to they continue to explore.
I do.
They're gonna.
You had me there,
right? They're gonna continue to explore with other people.
But they have an open relationship.
Yes, but continue to come back to each other. Like Ivy will come back to Gotham, and they just boink like crazy, and then or Harley will go see Ivy, and there'll be some panels where they're in bed half naked. And then they go off to whatever it is they're doing. And honestly, the current run, it's fun. It's just fun. It's fun to read. I love it.
That's how it should be. I mean, there's such a like a difference in comics. And that, you know, that's what we're talking about, kind of like character driven, stick to the like telling stories within that world.
Yes.
I think that's what people want. I think it's a lot more fun than always having to put X, Y, and Z together. So I'm very excited for more stories because it doesn't sound like they're really going to change much in the Batman side of things.
No.
You know, it always stays constant through all the different rebirths and New 52s and Dawn of the DCU. So very exciting stuff. I think it's actually a good point to talk about the show because the whole Harley and Ivy thing, like that animated series, and it's funny because
are you caught up?
I am not. We have to watch season 3 still,
and then the Valentine's episode that just dropped. That was like a short film. What do you think of that show?
I love that show, man. It's so good because it's so mature, and it's got really good writing. And they do a really good job with the characters.
That's the best part, is every character. I love their take on every character. And first of all, the show reminds me of Drawn Together meets Family Guy in Batman. And Kaylee Cuoco, she doesn't really have a good Harley voice, but you could tell she loves the character. Yeah. She plays the character very well. The only thing is she doesn't do the voice, which will always bother me, but she does a great job as Harley. And personality wise, she nails it. And I love it. And Lake Bell as Ivy, I mean, is absolutely perfect. And then Kite-Man is just like, he's great.
Hell yeah.
And Clayface, and just their personalities. And like Gordon is looking for a friend, and I love how like Batman explains why he does that disappearing thing with Gordon, because Gordon will just like start talking about his ex-wife and how she left him, and he just feels like he has to disappear.
It's the best Gordon ever.
It's Christopher Maloney. Like,
yes, it rocks me every time. I'm just so funny and so pathetic.
So pathetic.
And it's just like, this is such a cool rendition of the character because it's the opposite of Jim Gordon.
Yes.
But it's so funny.
And Dietrich Bader reprises his role of Batman from Batman, the Brave and the Bold.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fantastic. And I absolutely loved there was a scene where the Joker captured Batman and he's got him tied up, and the Scarecrow just walks over and pulls Batman's mask off, and the Joker flips out and is like, are you kidding me? Like, I could have done that at any point. There was like a reason I wasn't doing Bruce Wayne, what is going on? Okay. And he's like, what? And he's like, I pre-ordered your electric car 3 years ago. I still don't have it. And the Joker is freaking out about an electric car he pre-ordered from Wayne Industries. And that's his focus in that moment. And that's the thing I love about that show. I love that.
Alan Tudyk.
Yes. Alan Tudyk plays the Joker and Clayface.
Yes.
Which is great. And then they added Frank, the her flower friend, her plant friend.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And then their landlord was played by George Costanza.
Jason Alexander.
Jason Alexander.
Cy Borgman.
Yep. It's Cy Borgman, and he ends up being a cyborg. An old Jewish angry cyborg in a wheelchair. That comedian I love plays King Shark. And then there was a whole King Shark, like
Ron Funches.
He's so wonderful. He plays King Shark, and there's a whole like story arc of King Shark.
So let's stop on that, because we'll talk about King Shark with the Suicide Squad. I think it's a great character to bring in, and the way they do the difference between that and the movie one is funny, because I really like the animated series one, because he's so like outrageous, and he's fun, and he's smart, unlike the way they usually portray him.
And he's adorable too. Yeah, and then when he smells blood, he smells blood, he freaks out and kills everything.
Oh God.
And it's great. And like the whole, it's very deadpan, but it's very drawn together. It's very Family Guy, and it's very good. There's a lot of it's built around Ivy and Harley's relationship. And I think that's a wonderful thing, because I feel like their relationship in terms of the LGBTQ community, their relationship doesn't feel very shoehorned. It feels very natural. Like, this is a natural thing. And I really love the way they depicted that. And I love the way they wrote the two of them. It didn't feel like they were doing it for the sake of, you know, representation only. There is the representation there, which is fantastic, but they did it organically.
It's also more like due diligence. I mean, it's like, hey, this relationship has existed for so long. Why has it not been more played out in the general public? Like, we could read about it in the comics and more like they can make assumptions in other media, but to do it straight out here, it's great. And that's why I'm really excited to watch season 3 and the Valentine special.
They're worth it. They're absolutely worth it. Yep. But yeah, man, Harley is fantastic. So I don't know, do you want to take a break and get into the visual media, or should we jump right in? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we should talk. Let's talk Margot Robbie.
Okay. All right.
It's a big chunk. And I sat and watched Harley Quinn last night, again, in preparation for the show.
Right. Well, you watched Harley Quinn, the one?
The Birds of Prey movie.
Gotcha. Okay. The Birds of Prey movie. Yep. So Margot Robbie started as Harley Quinn in 2016 Suicide Squad. She then reprised her role as Harley Quinn in Birds of Prey in 2020, and then again surfaced as Harley Quinn, which I thought a lot of people were worried that it wasn't going to happen with the sort of sequel reboot, the C-boot, maybe. Requel, there you go. The Suicide Squad in 2021, but no, she reprised her role, and I think we're better for it. I tell you that I love Margot Robbie as Harley, but in my opinion, I don't think she's been utilized 100% properly. But I love Margot Robbie as Harley. She's Harley to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I just watched it again last night. I'm glad I did, because let's talk about this. Suicide Squad.
Yeah, the first one.
The David Ayer movie.
Yep.
So much wrong there, except when you watch the first 30 minutes, you're like, it could have been a crazy movie. I love the first 30 minutes of that movie. I really do. And it's not even like they deviate from what they do in the comics. Like, Ostrander Run had them fighting those big godlike creatures and whatnot. So they did do that. It's just the movie wasn't treated properly, but I really did love the introductions of the characters, and especially Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn.
Yeah, and I really liked Will Smith's Deadshot.
Oh,
and
I wish
that would have been kept.
They didn't get rid of it.
Yeah, that's true. Remember
all the casting rumors? Oh, they're going to put Idris Elba in the role. And no, they decided not to, to leave it open if he ever wanted to return, which I, like you, I enjoyed.
And just like you said, you talk about the first 30 minutes of that movie being the best part, which it is. You've got Will Smith's Deadshot sitting there on a cell phone talking to them about a guy he needs to assassinate. And like, well, you know, my window is closing. I asked for this much money. And, you know, as soon as they put the money in his account, bam, he just killed him. Mm-hmm. And I thought that scene was so great and such a waste of a character moving forward. But Harley, I think, was fantastic in that movie. Margot Robbie was fantastic in that movie. I just wanted to see more of Harley before she was captured, I guess. You know what I mean? I want to see that. And I think Margot Robbie could pull that off easily.
She could. And they could easily do like a flashback movie. I mean, they show some things.
They do.
Flashback scenes. But you're right. It would be interesting to see more of a character driven instead of this team portrayal, because she does deserve more spotlight. And Margot Robbie, especially portraying the character, is she's such a great actress, hands down. And it was interesting to see her cast as this and really just pull it off at the same time.
And the voice,
yeah,
she does the voice, yes, so well.
Yes. Like,
that's what I want. When I heard her talk for the first time, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And then, you know, you just saw Birds of Prey. I finally saw it not too long ago, and that
pushed you to watch it.
Yes. And it was like being on a ride. I felt like I was on a ride, and it was fun. I love the actress that plays Black Canary.
Oh, my God,
I want to see more of her. I can't believe she was the little girl from the movie Jack with Robin Williams.
Jurnee Smollett.
Yeah.
She was, what was that? Oh, it was on the HBO show with Jonathan Majors, but that was a great show too. It was like,
Lovecraft Country. Yeah, that was a great show.
So, but,
she's great. Please. No, she's great. She's great. And, I didn't like Ewan McGregor's Black Mask.
Oh, no.
No, it's just like he's Obi-Wan, and it sucks to say that, but it's just like it was hard for me to separate.
What was the first movie you saw Ewan McGregor in? Was it Phantom Menace?
Yeah, because it was 98. So
he's always been
12.
Obi-Wan to you.
I was, huh? Yeah.
So you didn't watch Trainspotting as a child?
No, not as a child. No, I didn't watch Trainspotting as a fucking child.
That's where I went wrong. Okay, I get it now. All right.
Yeah,
I understand now.
Oh. Yeah, but like, as
it's like Obi-Wan does heroin. Oh my god!
Right? Oh my god! Exactly. I loved him in Big Fish too, and I loved him in there's another movie he was in. But anyway, I digress. Birds of Prey and Harley Quinn in that was great. I loved when she blew up Ace Chemicals.
Yeah,
I loved the whole sandwich thing that she was. She wanted that sandwich so badly. We finally got to see her hyenas, which was just wonderful. Like, that left right off the comic book pages for me when I saw her hyenas. I was like, there they are. That was awesome. So yeah, I really liked that movie overall.
I want to mention another character was Rosie Perez's Renee Montoya.
Yes, Montoya.
You know, she's another character that was created in the Batman the Animated Series.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
She's
gone on to huge things, like being the Question,
being
in charge of the GCPD,
the blue wall that
right?
that I keep talking about. She's the main character.
She's a commissioner now, right?
She's a commissioner, Montoya. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I loved Rosie Perez in this role because she was such a, like, she played it perfectly. She was such a hot mess, but she was like trying to be such a cool cop. And like her wearing that shirt, you know, it's such a, this movie is like on so many different levels of like, you have to buy into the cheese of it.
It's insane.
So, and it's ultra violent. And it's,
yes,
like, it's this perfect, like, fun rated R movie where the main issues I have is like, all right, this is how you're going to portray Cassandra Cain. whatever, fine. And other small quips with, but it's just, it's a fun movie. Yeah, I had to watch it again before the show.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I have to say, my favorite of this kind of series of films is The Suicide Squad, which we talked about on a previous episode, I believe season one. We talked about The Suicide Squad, which was sort of the requel, as you put it. And I absolutely adored Margot Robbie's Harley. I have to say my favorite rendition of Harley Quinn for Margot Robbie was in this movie. I love the scene where she's like just getting banged by that Prince of Corto Maltese. And I love the whole Corto Maltese thing, by the way, if you look at the original 1989 Batman, because that's, you know, it's talked about in that movie. It's for them to actually go to Corto Maltese. And then Harley just murders him in cold blood. And she's like, I figured the next time I fall in love with a psychopath, I figure I have to do the only normal thing, which is to murder him.
And yeah,
it was so Harley. It was just so her. Like, as he's laying, dying, bleeding out on the floor, she's explaining and apologizing. I'm really, really sorry, but I told myself. And it was great. And she's incredible.
And they amped up the action in that movie. It was, and like you said, she was the one that, like, besides Captain Boomerang, who dies very early in the movie.
So many of them do.
But who, like, there was nobody else from that original team anyways, because, well, a lot of them died. But yeah. Great movie. I think that Joel Kinnaman's Rick Flag is also one of my favorite portrayals in that movie. It just, like, he's such a, like, run-of-the-mill actor.
Yeah.
But he gets these, he kills these roles. There's, like, that, forget what that cyberpunk show on Netflix is, but
he was RoboCop too.
Was he really in the remake?
In the remake, yeah. Joel Kinnaman. Oh, that was him. Yeah.
With You Want to Get Nuts, Michael Keaton?
Yeah, you want to get nuts? That movie? Yeah, that's right. I haven't seen that in a while. But no, I agree with you on Joel Kinnaman and John Cena's portrayal of Peacemaker.
Oh yes.
Chef's Kiss was just amazing.
Yeah, I want to see John Cena's Peacemaker and Robbie's Harley Quinn in another movie together. I think that they could do something crazy with that. And I'm sure we'll see. I mean, we're getting Peacemaker season 2 eventually. I've not heard that Margot Robbie is out of the DCU. So
they'd be stupid.
Yeah.
To get rid of her. But I, you know, thinking of Harley and thinking of the DCU, when are we going to get a fair and wonderful portrayal of Ivy, and who would play her? Right. I just, like, I feel so, like, so much. I love Poison Ivy is probably one of my most favorite villains, and I don't talk about her enough, but I love her story. I love her purpose, her drive. Like, I know that she is technically a villain because she wants to kill humans, but she also is pushing for the environment. She's really like an environmental terrorist, if you think about it. But a lot of the times, like, if she has her own run right now, and she's not exactly the hero, she's not exactly the villain either, and she's not even really an anti-hero. It's just the story of her and kind of trying to come to grips between, like, wanting to kill everything that's warm-blooded, and, like, have plants rule the earth and not, I guess. So yeah.
So I love that they've also tied her to the Green.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it's very important that, because they created such a really interesting dimension of the DCU with the Green and the Red and all that stuff and Swamp Thing and an Animal Man. But
I have to tell you, I have to.
Yeah, and yeah.
I'm not going to tell you anything more.
Tell me.
The Harley Quinn show, they have to go to the Green, and Ivy isn't strong enough. She can only reach the Green in small, short bursts. And of course, there is one person that can completely direct connect to the green. And let's just say they make Swamp Thing into a chai drinking Aaron Rodgers type. And I never laughed so hard in my whole life. Like, just Swamp Thing just being such a meta bro.
So now you've inspired me to jump on that and watch it immediately.
Yeah, you should. I loved it. I loved the episode. His episode. I laughed so hard. And I love Swamp Thing. So
then I'm going to give a spoiler as well.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for the new season of Titans.
Yes. Yes. Tell me.
In the first half.
Yeah.
They go to the red.
Wow.
Somebody goes to the red, and it makes a lot of sense. And it's like, do they just do that? So I love that they're
I feel like it would have to be Beast Boy.
Yes. Good. Good.
Animal Man or Animal Woman?
They mentioned some names.
Okay. All right.
They mentioned Animal Man, and they mentioned Vixen and things like that. And it's really neat.
Vixen. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, there's some straight up comic book stuff this season. That's amazing. So go watch.
That's yeah. Hell yeah. So anyway, The Suicide Squad 2021,
James Gunn
was
now in charge.
It was a great movie. I loved that movie, and I loved Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn. But we definitely have to take a look at two other things here. First of all, Batman and Harley Quinn was an animated show or animated movie that was in 2017. Now you saw it, right?
Did I see it?
Yeah. Wasn't that great. Wasn't that great. Just wasn't that great.
Let me say this.
Yes, please do.
I love DC animated movies.
So do I.
Up to that point, there had maybe been one language I was like, whatever. This, I was like, this is a complete insult.
Yeah.
To Batman the Animated Series. I fucking hated that movie with a passion. I was just like, this is garbage. Like, how could you write this kind of stuff and think that it's like that fans of this show would like this? It is complete garbage. I was taken back by it because of the quality of the DC anime movies.
Yeah, it was very low quality. It felt like very rushed and felt like it wasn't like really well thought out. And then the really cringy sex scene with Nightwing and her was so very cringy. And like she had Nightwing tied up and she just did whatever she wanted with him. And like it felt really out of place for that movie. Like, why is this happening here? Like, why is this happening?
Big mistake.
Yeah, I didn't quite get it. But my friend, we have in 2024. The second Joker film, and I don't know how to pronounce this. Do you?
Foi adieu.
Which roughly
foi adieu.
Apparently, it's supposed to mean a shared psychosis.
Cool.
And we will have an introduction of Harley Quinn in this separate Joker Elseworld tale, and she will be played by one Lady Gaga. And there is a discussion of this possibly being a musical, or that just there will be one song in it. And with Lady Gaga, I mean, she's got the pipes for it. I like Lady Gaga. I don't particularly care for her music. Her music is not something I particularly care for, but I have heard her speak and I have always enjoyed anything that she has had to say. I think that she's a very good person, a very smart person, a very talented person. And I would love to see her as Harley. I'm very curious to know what it's brought. What are your thoughts? There's a lot of mixed feelings, I feel like, on this movie. What are your thoughts?
I love Lady Gaga. I love Lady Gaga's music. I've partied a many nights to Lady Gaga's music.
Okay.
And like you just said, her side, her activism side is huge as well. So her message has always been really positive, which I mm-hmm. loved about her.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her in American Horror Story.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh. I was just like, why am I so turned on by Lady Gaga? I mean, it's like, cause she's awesome and she's a vampire now. So, it was very alluring. Yeah. Anyways,
that was a wild season.
Yeah, it was.
That was Hotel, right? Hotel.
Yeah. Yeah. The Hotel one. It was, it's just, she's a great like human being. And I'm really interested to see like what she brings to this role. I mean, it's because the guy dances in the first movie. So, you know, here, can he dance to her singing? Yeah. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah. I'm very curious as to how this is going to go. They, from what I heard, they are scrapping the idea that she was ever his doctor. This is going to be more of a, she's locked up in there with him and they befriend one another. How much truth? I mean, I'm not in production for this movie, so I don't know for certain. I can only tell you what I've read. And Lady Gaga is a powerhouse of talent. So yeah. My other question is she going to attempt the voice? Can she do the voice?
I'm not really sure what her normal voice sounds like. So I don't know. Is she from New York? She's from New York City, then probably.
Isn't she a Long Island girl?
I have this feeling that she is. I don't know. I am going to assume that she can do the voice.
I'm going to need that voice. Lady Gaga, I know you're a longtime listener to Listen Up Casuals. And if you could do the voice. But I believe in her. I know some folks that are like, I don't want to see this movie. I didn't like the first one.
Okay, then don't see it.
I remember I went with three or four of my friends.
Yes.
We went to the theater, and there's a bunch in my small town that I live in. There's a group of bars and then the best movie theater in town. In the county, I should say, Tinseltown. It is that theater is the best one.
I agree.
Casey,
great theater.
Casey always drives out. He's like, he always tells me you're lucky. He's like, you're lucky. You live like 3 minutes from that theater. I said, yes, I do. And
close to there?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
That gives me better geography of that area.
Yeah.
I saw episode 3 there. That's great.
Yeah. Okay. Right on. Yeah. So, you know, and it's a great theater. Anyway, there's a group of bars there. So we're like, we're going to go see Joker and then we're going to go to the bar. And I remember we all went to see Joker. We got in the car. Mm-hmm. We were silent coming out of the theater. We were silent in the car. We got to the bar. The first time anyone spoke was to order drinks. And then we just all kind of looked at each other and we're like, what just happened? Like, there was no moment of levity in that film. There was nothing funny about it. It was a tough watch. I've only watched it twice and I don't think I could watch it again, but it is clearly such a fantastic, fantastic movie.
Yeah, I agree. It's a tough swallow. I don't know, maybe watched it 3 times now. It is a really good look at mental health in our country and in the world. And I think that it's important that these kind of movies exist, because it's also, you know, it's a comic book movie, but it's also a narrative of society and how things are treated and why people react the way they do. You know, you can take a look at the Joker from the 60s and people can be like, oh, Batman's just this goofy comic book character. But if these characters aren't a narrative of what's going on in today's world, then what are they?
Well, exactly. And I think that, you know, comic books since the 1950s, even maybe even before, if you're looking at Batman, you're looking at the 1930s, you know, the comic books were considered pulp, were considered, you know, these like almost vulgar stories, but you know, we read them now and we say, what was vulgar about this? Mm-hmm. But back then it was because they held the zeitgeist. They were the YouTube, they were the, the they This was whatever was going on in the world was reflected in comic books, and sometimes in a way that was offensive to people, because people would take offense, you know, to what was being portrayed, whether it be stuff about the Cold War, when we had certain characters, you know, discussing the Cold War, the X-Men discussing civil rights. You know, these were, you know, really Superman immigration. I mean, really, that's what these comic books were in, that zeitgeist were in, were there discussing what was going on at that time. So shouldn't movies be doing that too? Shouldn't all art be doing that?
That's always been my point of art, and what I enjoy about films, not just movies, because I always argue that I love comic movies, but they're becoming almost like a dime a dozen. Not to be insulting to them, but they're becoming quantity over quality.
Yes,
it's like the Western. And I love Westerns. There's nothing wrong with Westerns. But this, the idea to be able to push the envelope and not have this general audience friendly experience, I think it's important, because that's what we're reading on these pages a lot of the time, especially when you get like these more mature titles and you're able to, as an adult, read comics, and like you said, it's a look at the times, but it, you know, I think that it's important to realize that it's not just pulp like a lot of people consider it. It needs to be looked at as a real genre,
and I think it is, and I think it's starting to come back. You know, my brother is starting to get back into comic books, and I'm super proud of him, and I'm super proud of that. And he'll text me about it. For his birthday, I got him Batman Year One. And he's just like, this is such a great book. And I was like, yes, it is. And, you know, it's just these stories that are timeless and that apply over and over and over again. And we see that with Harley Quinn. She has really stood, what, 30 years now?
Yeah.
1992, right? 92. Yep. So we're looking at 31 years of Harley Quinn. And yeah, because we just celebrated that's right, 30th anniversary. Here's right here one of the comics in that 30th anniversary of Harley Quinn. And, you know, she's been reinvented, and she is now up with the times, and a lot of what she does is a discussion on our world today, like a lot of comics are. So
agreed. I think that's the best way to put it.
Yeah,
it's just, let's give representation to all these different voices that are out there, and without that, how else are people heard?
Exactly. Well, with that, Chris, I've had a blast tonight. Do you have anything that you wanna plug?
Totally Talk, source of the geekly news. We're on break right now, but Casey Bowker and I will be back in April for another slew of episodes. We're going for 300. We're gonna reach it.
Nice.
In the next couple of years.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Right on. Well, I am on a little stupid show called Critical Mass. We just started recording again. We're three episodes deep, and those episodes will begin trickling out to the public very soon. If not, by the time you hear this, check us out. We do have Adam on the show now, and Adam adds a whole new dimension to our show. We talk about everything and anything. There's really nothing off the table, nothing off limits. So we really like to talk about what's going on in the news today, especially politics. So if you want to get your fix of that, like I always say, Critical Mass, we're like the Daily Show without the talent.
So this has been another great episode of Listen Up Casuals. We'll be back with episode 3 of season 3. And we'll be talking the Wolverine.
Hell yeah. I can't wait. And remember, kids, and adults. Support your local comic shop.